Psalm chapter 8. I want you to stand with me, if you will. Psalm chapter 8. I'm going to read out loud verse 1 through 4. I want you to follow along silently. Psalm chapter 8. The Bible says this: O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hath set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hath thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I considered thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Let's pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. Holy Spirit of God, take the average and make it above average. O Spirit of God, take the norm and make it supernatural. Take a simple preacher's voice and may it echo throughout eternity with the truth from thy word. Give me the people's attention and I will give you mine. Meet with us in a very unique and special way, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll have a seat there. When I read this scripture, and I've read it many times, I sure did notice in verse number 4, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And you say, what does that mean? Well, when you're thankful, you're full of thanks. Now it says that God is mindful. The Bible is actually telling us here that God's mind is full of thoughts of you and me. Now in Job chapter 7 verse 17 it says, "What is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and thou shouldst set thine heart upon him?" You know, the Bible teaches that God has chosen to magnify man. There are a lot of things out there that God created that are awful awesome. I mean, amazing. Look in the universe and around the world and in the sky. All of these things. But the Bible says that God has magnified man. He's magnified man. God has chosen to magnify you and me. Oh, now, God doesn't tell you and me to magnify ourselves, but God may choose to magnify what God wants to choose to magnify. And God has magnified you. My sermon today is not to the congregation. It's to you. As an individual, we hear that for God so loved the world, and sometimes that compilation of people that's called the world, we tend to forget God loves you. Right. It's very individualistic. You are in the center of the bullseye of God's attention. Man's important to God. You are. You know, most people do not realize how important they are to God. Most people don't realize how much God loves them. Most people do not realize how special they are to God. Most people quickly associate with the question that's presented in that scripture. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Matter of fact, most of you wouldn't even take the time to turn to God and say, what's the big deal about me? Because you don't even feel like you need to say that, because you're not even really sure that he is all that interested in you. But the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I think the psalmist was saying, God, I've read the scripture and I know that you say that you love me a lot. And I'm important to you a lot. Man, you really have your eye on me, but what's the big deal about me? And I wish you understood, God loves you, and you are a big deal to him. What am I that God is mindful of me? What am I that God would magnify me? Why would you be on God's heart? Why would you be on God's mind? I'd love to help you with that today. But what I want you to understand something. That means, Tyler, you're on God's heart right now. Daniel, right now, you're on God's heart. Sabrina, you're a big deal to God. to each and every one of you, God's thinking about you right now. You and I, we forget to think about Him. You know, we get busy and we forget He's even there. I've got good news for you. He's never for a moment forgotten to think about you. We take our eyes off of Him. He has never taken His eye off of you. We forget to think about Him. He's never stopped thinking about you. And then, if we would really grasp that, we would have to say, I know I can say it, so why would you feel that way about me, God? Why would you never take your eye off of me? Why would you never stop thinking about me? Why would you never stop loving me? Not for a moment, not for a fraction of a second. Why? Well, I want to help you to understand it. Then I have to do this. I want to tell you some things about why God's that way toward you. And then I almost need to insist that you believe it. I want to tell you, then you need to believe it. You're important to God because He chose to make you important. He has a right to do that. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let me read it again. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now listen to me. My home, before I bought my house on St. Andrew's Circle here in town, I lived on a road called Crescent Run. We built our own deck. I kind of designed that deck. It was three levels. There are people here that had seen my deck. It was three levels. You could put 100 people on my deck at one time. The top level was about 48, 50 feet long, is 16 foot wide. And it was built on a mountain side. When you got all the way down to the bottom of the deck, you could roll right on down the mountain if you chose to do so. And I've done it a couple times myself. But you could come right out of my kitchen, dining, living room area, big double doors, and go out onto my deck. And then my wife and I, we wanted to make it so that we could step out of the master bedroom right out onto our deck. And so there were doors there. And so you could go from either side. Huge, massive deck. Then you would go down a little flight of stairs, and then there was another deck. And it was about 14 by 14. Then you go down another flight of stairs, and there was another deck. And then you would go down another flight of stairs, and you would finally be at the ground. Now, that deck was important to me. We designed it. My boys helped me build it. I had some men help me build it. It was built so strong, you know, the footers. I went way too deep with the footers and used more cement that was needed, and all the hardware and everything on it. I mean, we went overboard. A nuclear bomb had hit, my house would be gone, my deck would still be standing. I'll never forget the deer. They come in when we first got there. There were deer everywhere. My wife thought, "Oh, that's so beautiful to have the deer in the yard." Well, we developed the yard, put a bunch of flowers out. The first time she looked out and the deer had eaten hundreds of her flowers, she said, kill them all." Then we got this thought that, you know, what we could do is instead of planting all the flowers out in the yard where the deer could get to them, she would just deck out all three levels of the deck, and we'd put planters everywhere. So she put planters everywhere and put all sorts of flowers out. We looked out one day on our deck, all three levels, there were deer munching down on her flowers. And again, she said, massacre. We had a little hot tub. It wasn't big, it wasn't fancy, but we had a little hot tub on our deck just outside the master bedroom. I would get done working, get back from a preaching trip, and we would go out in that hot tub. And I'm telling you, under the stars, it was just beautiful. And then the deck, it was big and massive. And I built the deck huge like that because I wanted to have the church out and Sunday school parties and things like that. And boy, it was something. And I'll tell you, it had flaws, but it's mine. And I built it. And as you're seeing, I loved it. I loved that deck. It was special to me. I designed it. I paid for it. Matter of fact, I may still be paying for it as much as it cost us to build. But it was massive and it was huge and it was gorgeous. We had a big swing that we hung. Of course, it was high. It was very high. You couldn't jump off the top of that deck. Remembering all the way to the back, you'd go off the edge of a hill, a mountain. You'd go down. You'd be in trouble. But we had a swing where you could sit out there and swing. It was something. Now, I created that deck. I love that deck. It meant something to me. You have to understand something. God created you. He created you to enjoy you. He created you to be important to Him. David said, "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." David said, you are important. He was explaining, he's saying, we're important to God because God created us to be important to Him. And if you at first you say, well, I don't understand, what's the big deal about me or about anybody to the great God of the universe? We were created to be important to Him. That's how He wanted it to be. You say, but preacher, I have some flaws. Yes, yes you do. My deck had flaws. I knew places where my deck was weak. I knew places where my deck had some flaws. I knew places where my deck was not everything that I wanted it to be. But can I tell you something? That's my deck. And I love that deck. And if you came to our house, my wife may take you to her sewing room and show you her sewing room. I'd take you to show you my deck. Say, hey, by the way, have you seen my deck? You got to come out and look at it. I mean, this is awesome. We'd go out, and you know how when it's yours and you build it and you want to tell everybody all about it, and sometimes they don't even care and they can't even figure out what in the world is a big deal about this. But I'm going to tell you, it's my deck. And you know something, you and I might say, so what's really the big deal about all this? And why would we want to give that much attention to man? And why is it such a big deal? Well, let me explain to you. God created you. And when God created you, He made every one of you special. And you are different than anybody else. And God, in heaven, He says, that's a designer model. I made Hannah Kroom, and she's not exactly like anybody else. And I made a Hannah Kroom because I needed a Hannah Kroom. And I love Hannah Kroom. And she's special to me. And someone might say, well, now, Hannah's mom could say, well, now, Hannah has a few faults here and there. Mom said no. Well, good deal. But you understand, God looks at a Hannah and He said, I created her. You say, well, what's a big deal? God said, wait a minute. That's a big deal right there. That's my creation. I love that creation. I built that creation. I put something in it. And God created a Hannah because God wanted a Hannah. And He wanted her to be important. David said, I've been sure wondering why God had done all this, but now I see. God created me to enjoy me. He created me because that's the way He wanted it to be. Who was David to question or doubt God's marvelous works or desires? Now, folks, I don't think you and I ought to be vain, and I don't think you and I ought to be proud. We didn't create ourselves. He created us. But I do want you to know you're important to God. I think we really, really lose track of it. You're important to God. David may have said it, and it didn't make sense, but I have to tell you, when you were created, God created you. He created you to love you. He created you to want you. He created you to magnify you. He created you to think about you. He created you to keep an eye on you. He created you because He wanted to be with you. All of those things. So I don't understand why, but God has the prerogative to do what He wants. And He did. Believe it. Enjoy it. Accept it. Enjoy the benefit. Matter of fact, not in an arrogant way, but spread the news. I'm God's child. God created me. I'm somebody, not because of Jeff Owens, but because of who my dad is. My dad is a heavenly father and I get to be somebody. I ought to delight in that. And I ought to have faith in it. David was saying, guess what? I'm special to God. Maybe even David was saying, nah, 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 nah. I'm one of God's favorites. You know, everybody's one of God's favorites. It was God's idea to create me, not mine. But I'm really grateful that he came up with it. It turns out real good for you and I. Are you a new Christian? Let me explain. You're important to God. You say, well, Brother Owens, I've not been saved very long, and I've been coming to church, and I could understand why so-and-so might be special to God, but Brother Owens, I'm new in church, and how special could I be? Very special. You say, well, preacher, I've just been getting right with God. To be honest, I've been backsliding and no better, and I haven't been living for God for a long time, and I'm just now getting some of that straightened out. How special could I be? Well, I'm kind of glad you have that attitude, but I got good news for you. You're special. You're special too. Good Christians and bad Christians and those that have been saved for a long time and those that have not been saved for a long time. Just so you know, you're special to God. God created you that way. I looked at that deck and I said, hey, that's my deck. I built that deck. I mean, I designed that deck. I love that deck. I like spending time on that deck. I like looking at that deck. People would pull into our subdivision, look at the deck, and say, that thing is just awesome. Yeah, but understand, you're important to God the same way. Matter of fact, far more important to God than anything man's ever created. You say, how important am I? Well, you're important enough that He sent you His Word. He sent it to you personally. Proverbs 22:20 says, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge? To thee. God wrote this book to you. God's Word, you know, it's always been up in heaven, but He wrote it and sent it to you. He on purpose sent it to you. Let me explain. Have you ever heard someone say that had you been the only person on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ would have died, been buried, and resurrected to save you? That's true. Can I tell you something else? Had you been the only person on the face of the earth, God would have still sent this book to you. That's how personal it is. I placed, yesterday was Valentine's Day, I placed on Mrs. Owens' pillow a little envelope, a little Valentine card from her. It was to her personally. I wouldn't want anybody else to have it, want anything bad in it, but it was to her. I wanted her to have it. It was to her. It was special. It was from me, especially to her. And you would all say, oh, that is so sweet. What? And that's how it ought to be. I think if someone else, if your husband or wife exchanged a Valentine card, or look, if you got a sweet letter from your mama at one point and it was addressed to you, you'd want to grab a hold of that and say, that's mine. That was written to me. That's for me. That's important to me. Well, let me tell you something. This right here is a love letter. And God wrote it. You say, well, He wrote it to all of us. You're not getting it. He wrote it to you. That's how personal it is. He wishes that you would take this love note and make it your own. He wrote this book for you. You say, oh, He wrote it for the preachers. Oh, no. He wrote it for all the good Christians. Oh, no. He wrote it for you. He wrote it for you. You are so important to God that He wrote this book for you. Secondly, you're so important to God that He gave His Son for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, let me explain. You people get saved one at a time. You don't. The world didn't get saved in a mass. One at a time. And I really believe that the Bible teaches God was so interested in you that when Jesus died, He was dying for you. When Jesus was buried and resurrected, He was buried and resurrected for you. And had you been the only person on the face of this earth, He still would have come and He would have made sure that He died, was buried and resurrected for you. That's how important you are to God. Jesus came to the earth for you. And we ought to take it that personal. That's how personal God is and wants to be with you. He wrote a love note to you. His Son died for you. The psalmist said this. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And then later on, he answers his own question. He says this. He says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." David said, "What in the world's a big deal?" And then he said, "You know what? I guess God created me and decided I would be a big deal. God created me and decided that He would think about me. God did it on purpose." So you don't misunderstand, congregation. I'm not saying you're a big deal because of who you are. I'm saying you're a big deal because of who He is, and He has chosen to make you a big deal. It's not so that we can walk around arrogantly with our nose in the sky and let everybody know how fine and wonderful we are. No, it ought to be with a certain humble attitude that says, "I can't figure out why I'm so important to God, but I am. Because He wanted me to be. What an honor." So much that He wrote this book to you. So much that His Son died for you personally. And not only that, you're so important to God. Did you know you can reach Him 24 hours a day? 7 days a week. Now, let's see if there's anyone else in the entire universe or world that you're that important to. Wives, can you all get to your husbands 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? No. Doesn't always work that way. You say, why? Boss might not let it happen. Your battery might be dead. And I'm not talking about in your hearing aid. I'm talking about in your cell phone. Can children pretty well... Well, I'd like to think they could get to mom and dad if they needed to, but I can tell you there were times when my little rugrats were not in communication with mom and dad. Their places, they rode their bike. They were never to ride their bike. And we were not in close communication at the moment. But I'm telling you this, you are so important to God. Do you realize you can reach Him any day, any time? The Bible says in Psalm 55:17, "Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray." You get up in the morning. You say, I need to get a hold of God. God said, "God, I'm ready." What do you need? It's noon. Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's in a hurry at noon. Don't go to the post office at noon. Right, ladies? Don't go to the post office at noon. Because everybody, we're going to use their lunch break to go mail something. They're going to the post office. But with God, you get a hold of Him at noon. You say, will there be a line? Mm-mm. You have immediate access. You can get right to the front of the line. Amen. Well, I wonder if it's at midnight. Now, folks, midnight can be that time when our heart's broken and it's dark and it's lonely and we don't know how we're going to make it. And you don't know who to talk to and what to say. Can I promise you something? You are so important to God. He said, "Call me at midnight. Call me at midnight." Why? That's how important to God you are. You are so important. He wrote a love letter. And you might have thought, well, He wrote that to everybody. He wrote it to you. You may say, well, I'm so important. Look, His Son died for you. You can reach Him 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He takes no holidays. You don't have to worry about it. Hey, you know, number four, you're so important to God that He wants to be with you forever. Forever. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "And shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Ever be. Ever be. Ever be. Some of you have taken jobs someplace, and you ask the question, well, how long are you going to employ me? And they said to you, "It's your job till the day you die." They lied, didn't they? Yeah. It happens. Ever be, though, with the Lord. Did you know, this is almost hard to fathom. God wants to be with us for all eternity. Now, you and I, we can't even figure out how long that is. You all remember, now some of you younger people, this won't make any sense to you, but some of you others are going to pick up on this really quick. You remember when the calendar was going to turn to year 2000 and we all went, 2000? Who would have ever dreamed? When I was in high school and they showed you what cars were going to look like in year 2000, you thought, it looks like something off of Star Trek. How's it possible that a car would look like? But we made it. Now, Mia, do you know what year you graduate from high school? I mean, if you graduate on time. Do you know? How old are you? What grade are you in? So if you're in sixth grade, you're going to graduate in 4 years. It'll be 2019. Six years? So it's 2021, 22, 2022? Oh, sixth grade. I was thinking eighth grade. Okay, 2021, 20, okay? And some of us would say, 2020? That is such a long way away. Well, I've got news for you. Can you imagine what eternity must be like? Do you realize that if God said, I want to be with you for all eternity? Now, let me tell you something that's real important about that. It's sad sometimes, but we can actually tell each other that we love each other and we want to be with each other. Say, I'm going to love you forever. The human race struggles a little bit keeping their commitment for their 10 years or their 20 years or their 30 years or their 40 years or their 50 years. The Lord said, for eternity. For eternity. He has no plan of getting tired of you. Huh. You know what? He won't divorce you. He won't run off and leave you. He won't forsake you. I enjoy our grandchildren. I enjoy them thoroughly. I enjoy them coming. I enjoy them going. My patience or tolerance level is not what it used to be. When I was 20, if there were kids jumping off the kitchen table into the dog food, I thought it was cute and funny. Now I'm just worried they're going to get dog food embedded up their nose and die from a disease. I can only take so much of it. But you know, our Heavenly Father, I about imagine if my grandchildren can wear on me, don't you think the human race could wear on Him? But He loves us so much and He wants to be with us so much. He said, you know what? I'm going to write the book. It's going to be to you. It's a love letter. I'm going to send my Son to die for you. It's going to be specific. I'm going to make it so you can reach me 24/7. Call me anytime you want. I'll be there for you. And you know, as soon as you get off that earth, you're going to come and you're going to be with me and we're going to be together for all eternity. You say, what's the big deal about me? God wanted it that way. Amen. That's how God wanted it. Did you know that you're so important to God that He always keeps His word to you? Always. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. You know, the God said, I am not going to be a slacker in regard to my promise to you. God would never lie to someone that He loves as much as He loves you. He will not break any of His promises He's made to you. Not one. God loves you so much He will exercise complete 100% honesty day and night for all eternity with you. I guess you must rate pretty high on God's list. Wow. That's who we are. And folks, it's not because you and I did anything special. It's because He created us to want to love us like that. I don't know why He did that, but I'm glad that He did. I mean, we didn't do anything to deserve that. But out of all the things that God created, God said, man. And David said, what? Why are you so mindful of man? And God said, it's the way I wanted it. And then I look at all this that God did for me. Not because me is special, but because He is special and chose that He would do this for me. If you say, well, preacher, I'm lonely. Well, let me tell you something. You got something pretty good going here with God. And some of you will think this a little shallow. You say, well, I didn't get anything from anyone for Valentine's Day. I think you did. The great lover of your soul that loves you more and more deeply than any human on the face of the earth. You just need to accept that love and let it get you through maybe a lonely week where somebody else got roses. He created the whole world of flowers for you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You're so important to God. He never sleeps. You say, why? So He can keep an eye on you. Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4 says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. Now, I love my children, but I did not watch them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You say, why? I slept. You know what your Heavenly Father does? He stays up. Our son named Joshua became very, very sick when he was young. Mrs. Owens gave birth, and he immediately began losing weight. We knew there was something not right, and he was in the hospital. I think, honey, a couple weeks, 2 weeks, and every day he lost weight, and he lost weight, and he lost weight, and he lost weight. Eventually, we found out that he was allergic to lactose, and so we found out that he had an allergy. Of course, the only thing you feed a brand new baby is milk. And we found out that there was an allergy there, but he almost died. He kept losing weight, and they told us, they said, we don't know what to do. We cannot figure this out. We cannot figure out what's wrong. Either my wife or I stayed awake. We made sure one of the two of us were awake every moment of that hospital stay as we watched over that baby. Now, our Heavenly Father said, I love you so much, I'm not going to go to sleep. Some of you this week maybe had a close call in the car. There are people from our church that flew this week. Can I tell you something? Wherever you were, your Heavenly Father was by your side, watching, wide awake, never slumbers, never sleeps. That's what He did for you. And He's doing it right now. Some of you are sleeping on Him right now, but He's not asleep on you. Isn't that amazing? You're so important to God, He never slumbers, He never sleeps, He watches you 24/7. You're so important to God, He keeps His word to you 100%. You're so important to God, He wants to be with you forever. You're so important to God, He said, you can call upon me 24 hours a day. I gave my son. He died for you, was buried for you, resurrected for you. He said, I wrote you a love letter that will meet every need that you'll ever have on in your earthly life. That's how much He loves you. But not only that, you're so important to God that one of these days He's going to take you to heaven and you're going to live at His house. At His house. John 14:2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I want you to listen to the wording. In my Father's house are many mansions. You say, well, I thought I was going to get me a mansion, you know, and God would have the big dog mansion, but I'd get me a mansion. Yours will be inside His. You get it? God is inviting us to have a sleepover. You talk about clout. We are going to stay at God's house. That's incredible to me. Pack your pajamas. It's going to be good. He said, I am going to have you come live with me forever. We are so important to God. You are so important to God that once He saved you, He said, once I save you, I'm never going to let you go. Hebrews 13:5, He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't it wonderful that when you get saved, God said, once I save you, I'm keeping you. I'm keeping you. Once you get saved, He keeps you that way. You know, one of the reasons why I think God saves us and keeps us, because He knew we'd booger it up if He turned it over to us. He said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to do it all the way. I'm going to do the saving. You do the letting. I'll save you. Then I'll give you that security so you know that you're saved. He said, because if I turn this thing over to you, no sooner will I hand it to you. You'll have it a mess. And so I think we're all in agreement. Isn't that what we would have done? But He said, I love you so much. I want to be with you so much. I'm writing you the book of all eternity. My son's going to die for you. You can call me 24/7. I'm going to meet your needs. And once I get you saved, I'm keeping you saved because I don't want to lose what's so important to me. Wow. You're important to God. You're important to God. You're so important to God, once He saves you, He'll keep you that way. You know, you're important enough to God that Jesus ever lives to intercede with God on your behalf. I'll explain that in a moment, but the Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let me tell you a really good benefit we've got going for us. God said, I love you so much, my Son will die for you, be buried for you, be resurrected for you, and once my Son saves you, He's going to stand right here beside me, and every time you goof up, He's going to make sure He intercedes on your behalf, which means this. The devil, you know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Do you know what old Beelzebub, Lucifer, smutty face does? He's watching you all the time. He says, Lord, Lord, I just saw Hannah. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, Lord, I got that covered. The devil, he watches Hannah. The devil watches Charlotta. The devil watches JV. The devil says, guess what I saw? Guess what I saw? And Jesus said, no, God, you don't have to listen to that. I've got that taken care of. Jesus is always in between us and God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. The blood of Jesus Christ intercedes between our sin and our God. You say, does God look down on me? Jesus has you covered. God looks at you and says, that's one nice deck I built. And the devil says, well, I see a missing bolt. And Jesus says, I got that covered. Well, I see a flawed board. Jesus says, got that covered. And in all actuality, when God looks at you, the deck that He built, it's perfect. Because you and I are perfect? No, because Jesus, our intercessor, is perfect. He's the one that keeps our standing with God in a pure, pure state. We are justified. We are just as if we had never sinned. Because of us? No, because of the Savior. How important are you? I think I understand better. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He was scratching his head and said, so what's the big deal? A little later on, God leads in the Scripture to say, oh, it's because of the way God made me. I am God's creation. God chose that I would be special. Therefore, I'm special. And all these benefits come to me because God chose that I would be special. Now, with that in mind, why don't we stop and realize what we owe Him? Now, we can never repay Him. We can't repay Him for making us the way He did and making us so important. But don't you think you and I ought to spend the rest of our lives just loving Him and serving Him? You don't have to love Him and serve Him to go to heaven. You get saved to go to heaven. But look at everything He did for us. I guess. I don't think there should be anything that's too much for you and I to do for Him. Look at everything He did for us. Why would we even hesitate? Why would we hesitate when God says give, for us to hesitate to give? Why would we hesitate when God said, I want you to show up and be faithful? How dare we say, well, why should I do that? Wait a minute. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten everything He's done for us? It would seem then that serving Him should be easy for us. Look at everything that He did for us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. If nothing else, get this. You are on the top of God's list. And God comes along and said, you're that way because I said so. Take it by faith. Then, I think in our hearts, be good for all of us to say, and you know what, Lord? You have done so much. I think I'll do everything I can to be good to you. because you've been so good to me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, here's something you need to hear about, though. Are you born again? Are you a Christian? Are you one of God's children? You see, not all of that is a benefit for you if you're not saved. Here's the question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, I'm not sure of that. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know I'd go to heaven, but I don't. And I'll be honest, I don't know that I'm saved. Is there somebody here that would say, I don't know, preacher, if I'm saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, I don't know. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know, but I don't know. Pray for me. I won't embarrass you, but you say, I don't know. Good, I see a hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. All right? If you're saved, if you're born again, let's stop and realize we were created special. We ought to serve God. It shouldn't be such a task. You shouldn't feel so good about yourself because you came to church every once in a while. No, there's a little bit more to it than that. Look at everything He's done for us. Look at how He's chosen us. God exalting man, magnifying man. Why wouldn't we magnify Him? What sin is in your life that shouldn't be there? Why? Why is it so hard to say, oh, I think I'll give that up. Well, I don't want to sacrifice that for God. Wait a minute. Look at everything He did for you. Who here is a Christian would say, you know, now that I look at it, maybe I ought to work a little harder at pleasing Him, seeing whereas He's gone to such extreme to take care of me. Who here would say, God's spoken to my heart today, and you'll raise your hand, their hands up all over the place. Sure. Sure, we would all agree. We're going to have an altar call. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're saved and you feel like you ought to just come and say, Lord, you know what? As good as you have been to me, to allow me to be that special in your sight, I want to be good to you, Lord. You might need a moment at this altar. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're not saved, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again? If it is you're saved, maybe you ought to say, Lord, I sometimes ignore the fact that everything you've done for me and how good you've been to me. You're special. Every single human being under the sound of my voice, you are very special to God. He created you to be special. He wrote the Bible as if it were written to you as an individual. He made salvation available as if you were the only one that might need to be saved. He made it so you could reach Him 24 hours a day. You can pray and contact God all day long, every day, no matter the hour, no matter the weather. He made it so that you could be with Him forever in heaven. Not a short time, but forever. God felt you were important enough that He'll never lie to you. He'll never deceive you. He'll never promise you something to not come through. God never sleeps because He's got His eye on you. On you. Not on Christianity as a whole, but on you as an individual. God even said, I'm going to have you come live at my house. We're going to live in His house. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never let you be lost once He saved you. And Jesus constantly is our intercessor between us and God that makes sure all of this stays in place. You are so important to God. I call the sermon, Your Importance to God. You say, but I'm flawed, preacher. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've committed a lot of sins. Everybody's made their share of mistakes, and everybody's committed their sins. My deck was not perfect, but I created it. Let me tell you something. God created you. He is the one that came up with the plan of salvation to help you through the mess you got yourself in. Why? He said, I created that. I love that. It fell. I'm going to get it back in good standing. Why? I still love it. I still believe in what I created. This will be the last time through the song. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Look back at me, if you will, for a moment.